One thing I love about summer is everything's just getting easier. You're outside more, you're taking vacations, and it's the time where you're really not trying to overthink every outfit. You just want stuff that feels good, works, and sometimes is a little cool. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They make those pieces that you end up just wearing all season. For me, it's the 100% European linen shirt and the matching linen pants. That has become one of my go-to beach vacation outfits. I've gotten so many compliments on it. It's breathable, it's comfortable. It looks put together, but it still feels relaxed. You can literally wear this thing going to the beach all day, walking by the water for a sunset, and then head straight to dinner later, feeling completely comfortable and looking fashionable. And that's really what Quince does well. Their 100% European linen pants and shirts are easy to wear, perfect for summer, and the price is unbelievable. And they start at literally just $34. They also have soft tees you can wear all day, plus lightweight cotton sweaters that are perfect for when the temperature drops a little at night. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not the brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become one of those brands people trust for home, travel, and everyday essentials too. You've heard me talk about their website before. It's super fun to scroll around. They literally have everything. So make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/crypto101. If you've been sitting on a business idea, Shopify is the place where you can actually make it real. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, a super special, fun Friday rundown for everybody. You've got TiVo, you've got Brian. Brian, we're so back. It is meme coin summer, it feels like, on the Robinhood chain. You guys saw the thumbnail, you saw the title. We're going to break it all down and include some of the top calls that Brian and Joe have given over the recent week. Really, specifically, it was this week and other weeks. The Robinhood chain is going crazy right now. So if you're interested in what's going on there, plus everything else in the news, we've got you covered. But I know you're here for those 3, 4, 5, 6, dare I say 7x meme coins. Brian, welcome back to the show. We just got on the screen here a little bit of the coin market cap. The coin market cap 20 is up 2.3% today. Bitcoin 2.7, ETH up 3. A little bit of green on the board. You love that. Zcash, we got some Zcash news that we'll be talking about later in the show. But Brian, I really want to hand it off to you and not wait any longer. Really just dive into this Robinhood news because it is truly taking over both the timeline, the crypto world, and the meme coin world.
Yeah, man. Well, it's great to be back. I've been excited for this day for quite some time, and it aligned perfectly because, yeah, Robinhood, this new chain is starting to become the meme coin chain, it feels like, or at least over the past few days. So really right now with a lot of these meme coins, we're going to talk about a few of them. It is really throwing darts. I mean, this is gambling like some of the meme coins out there can be, but good old Vlad, I think you and Brendan talked about it on the Monday or Tuesday rundown. He sent out a tweet that, hey, Robinhood chain's great for RWAs, but it's also great for meme coins. And then all these meme coins that, and this is so funny. I've been watching those meme coins on that chain for some time. And I was like, man, there is, in my own mind, I was like, there's really nothing that's going to pop these memes off unless Vlad himself actually tweets something out. And sure enough, weeks later, He made some millionaires, I'm sure, the people that just speculated have gambled into some of those meme coins. He sends that out. And then a few of them start running. We're going to talk about Cash Cat. We're going to talk about Dog and Hood. We're going to talk about Hood Rat, some of these really unique meme coins, or interesting meme coins, I should say. But then last night, or about 20 hours ago or something, yesterday, I should say, Vlad shoots out Robinhood Summer is Here, kind of a little bit of a, you know, Solana summer when the meme coins were popping off. And the market liked it, TiVo. The market freaking loved it because some of these meme coins just went wild.
Yeah, it's been a Robin Hood summer for sure. It's again, we've kind of talked about, we talked a lot about how the Robin Hood chain is just, you know, gaining a lot of momentum. Obviously, there's some, I'm sure, pros and cons to people on the timeline because it is kind of a centralized chain, right? So come being from Robin Hood. But I mean, you can't deny it. I mean, Robin Hood has flipped Hyperliquid in 24-hour DEX volume. I think that's pretty impressive because obviously Hyperliquid was the bell of the ball for definitely the last couple months. But walk us through the process. I mean, I guess the process was you kind of were in how you and Joe kind of do the research and try and find your plays is, you know, identifying a couple different things. So how did that line up? Walk us through the process and then any of the notes, whether it's Cash Cat or Hood Rat, let's pull some up for the people and kind of walk through what you were seeing, what made you make the call and where we are now with them.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should start with Ansem, who's a pretty key like opinion leader on Twitter. You know, he talks a lot about memes and he embraced a coin called Ansem a couple weeks ago. And that ran to almost $400 million. That was the only meme coin we've seen in months that had that sort of run. Joe and I made that a call a couple weeks ago, did really well for people. I think, it, you know, if you caught it when Joe made the call, it was a clean 4X. And so so you can see that people still like memes. I mean, liquidity can still flow back into memes. And it did notice that there was some flow out of Ansem, but really everything kicked it off is whenever Vlad said, Robinhood chain is not just good for RWAs, it's good for memes. And all these meme coins or certain meme coins on their chain just started to kind of like figure its way out. So maybe let's bring up Cash Cat because the rumor is, and kind of what everyone's talked about, is Robinhood was supposed to be named Cash Cat, I believe, if I'm getting that correctly. So of course someone made a coin, Cash Cat, and this sucker, dude, it ran to, I think today was an all-time high, to like $180 million market cap. So Joe and I were slacking back and forth with each other earlier in the week when this was under 20 million. And I'm like, whoa, dude, this meme coin on Robinhood is starting to get some steam. Did we miss it? Do we really think, like, Ansem has a lot of momentum right now? Do we really believe that this Robinhood chain is going to embrace meme coins? Are people even going to really understand how you buy these Robinhood memes? But then the thesis started to become a little bit more clear. It's sitting right around $150 million, $140, $150 million after, you know, kind of getting all the way up close to $200 million. But Cash Cat is the clear lead dog or lead cat, I should say, of these memes. And it's I don't have any exposure to it, and I watched it early before $20 million, and then it's really tough to watch something. I think when did that first wick go up, that huge one, like on the 6th or 7th of July? What happened? Yeah, the 7th of July, the old boy's birthday. So I'm bringing memes back on the birthday, and this was a 10-15x, and when I saw that happen, I'm like, man, like I think we might have missed this. But then you just started to see the chatter. You started to see the group chats. And then you started to see liquidity from the Ansem token kind of get drawn down. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later in the show because a lot of people are calling Cash Cat the Melania to what Ansem, if Ansem's token was Trump. We just saw some rotation out of Ansem into Cash Cat. Started to chop along. More and more people talking about it. And then Vlad sent... So there was other coins that were getting spun up. And it was bringing excitement to this chain. So I guess the thesis is here is that it's this new chain. It's Robinhood. But Robinhood is huge, dude. I mean, you've been probably seeing... I haven't done all the research behind the exact numbers. But I've been seeing people say that Robinhood's bigger than like Solana and Coinbase combined. How many wallets? How much money? How much TVL? I mean, how much liquidity they have over there. So if they truthfully are going to embrace meme coins in some form or fashion, there's going to be some clear winners. Every chain has a has some meme winners that really hold, even in a bear market. And then when the bull market comes, it gets crazy. And you can see people still like meme coins. I mean, you can make a lot of money very quickly, but people have to be very, very careful with it as well, because as quickly as they go up, they go down. But I'm a little booed up. I'm a little excited. What are your thoughts on what's happening over here in Robinhood? Have you thought about getting yourself in the action?
Of course. I'm always thinking. I want to see everybody, you know, do well. Like you said, it goes up fast, it goes down fast. I think I've kind of always been a long-term just Robinhood bull in general, as we know. So I've been monitoring it, tracking it. I think when there's just a flare-up like this, I think it's great, obviously, to see the liquidity coming back and people having fun again in the crypto space with the meme coins. But yeah, like obviously it's been, you know, kind of an interesting crypto winner, if you will, here. So I'm not jumping in too much. I'm kind of just watching from the sidelines right now. But yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see, you know, the Robinhood chain like we have up here with all just the volume and the TVL. And, you know, they're obviously leaning into the fun. Vlad's leaning into the fun a little bit, but, you know, they're building. They're truly building in the space. And they came on the podcast recently. Johan Kerbrat, which is the tweet that, you know, Vlad was quoting, he came on the podcast a couple months ago. Next week, we have their head of product on Monday. And then Bryce and I are heading to a conference out in Long Island in a couple weeks. And a bunch of the Robinhood team is going to be there as well. So hopefully we'll get to connect with them actually in person and maybe make even more content. So Robinhood's all in on continuing to build, which I just, at the end of the day, is what you're really rooting for to have leaders in the space that are still here, you know, through the ups and the downs.
You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves and suddenly everyone's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform that captures any workflow in real time and turns it into a step-by-step documentation automatically. You just turn on the extension, do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot. And it's already trusted by over 80,000 enterprises, including nearly half of the Fortune 500. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing, screenshots, and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. And Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps, bottlenecks, and places to simplify. To book a personalized enterprise demo, visit scribe.how/crypto101. That's scribe.how/crypto101.
Yeah, I mean, what a way to bring attention to your chain. You know, it's the buzz of the timeline right now. Everybody's talking about these Robinhood memes. Everyone's talking about the Robinhood chain. I haven't really felt this way in quite some time, because a lot of the meme coins, other than Ansem, have been tough. It's been very tough because the entire market, you know, has been tough. You know, we've been feeling a lot of pain and choppiness, and I've been personally dollar cost averaging into some of these tokens, you know, the Bitcoins, the Hyperliquids, the Lighters, a lot of these tokens that I just really like. And I'm like, they feel too cheap for where they're at right now. And normally, if this was like a bull market, or like I just felt better about the overall macro shape of crypto, I would have been just like spitting money at these meme coins. And I think everybody would. But it's really encouraging to see the attention moving over here. People are getting a little bit more familiarized with Robinhood chain. And I've actually gone down this rabbit hole of like not just looking at the meme coins. There's actually some like decent projects now that are launching their tokens on the Robinhood chain. Now, you still have a lot of the same risks that these could be somewhat honeypots, or these could be just, these coins could go to absolute zero. But there does feel like less, like maybe this is my own personal perception, but like a lot of those Solana meme coins started to get really gnarly there for a while. Like you buy them and they would just totally go to zero right away. And it just felt like people were losing money really quickly, unless we found some really established memes that really had this viral space. Feels like the Robinhood memes are holding it up a little bit better. But it also helps that we have Vlad sending these tweets out. He obviously has a ton of impact in this space. And people are now onboarding over to Robinhood if they never have. Like myself, I've never bought any. I've bought tokens through the Robinhood app, but never none of these tokens on their chain. But now I'm looking at my portfolio and I have like 4 meme coins that I'm checking daily. And it's bringing a sense of excitement back to it. So we've seen this happen on a lot of different chains as well. We've seen it happen on Base. We've seen it happen on Sol. Of course, Ethereum mainnet. We've even seen meme seasons on Ton and Ripple, and they lasted only a week or two. And I've told our community just this week, I'm like, hey, this deserves attention. This, you got to have some gamble in your blood. I wouldn't use a ton of your money. This is more having some fun, but you could turn, you know, a few bucks into some decent money if you catch the right one at the right time. And if this continues to go, if Vlad continues to embrace this, if the users and the wallets continues to grow, it could become like Robinhood summer. It's not a non-zero chance. And Cash Cat is leading the charge.
Was there a cusp call on this that you guys made this week? Was that, it was or wasn't Cash Cat, or was it that was Hood Rat?
Yeah. I think I put on the link in the sheet of just like the deck screener for the Robinhood board. Why don't you bring that sucker up so people can see it's one of those bullets there. Yeah, right there. So Cash Cat, I called it right around 100 million, or it was a cusp call. It got all the way up to about 180 million. So if you bought there, we had a few days there to get into 100 million or even below, and then it got up to 180. Even if you sold it right now, you're up 50-some%. Hood Rat, number 3 on the board, which is about 10 million, got all the way up to about 14, 15 million. This is one that I put as a cusp call as well. Kind of was like my second favorite behind Cash Cat. I called it right around a $2 million market cap, where I was like, hey, if we can get a $2 million, which it gave us ample opportunity, it got all the way to 14. So it was a clean 7X if you bought it where I said. And if you sold it at 14 million, even if you sold it right now, you're at 5X. This is one that I did buy. I liked Hood Rat. I liked the name Hood Rat. It's I thought it just like, you know, I mean, it was very memeable, dude. You know what I'm saying? And the Hood Rat is actually, Matt Fury is a very famous crypto artist for the Boys Club. And he's the designer behind, or the creator of Pepe, the creator of Brett. And Pepe's, you know, one of the number one memes on Ethereum mainnet. Brett is one of the number one meme characters and meme coins on the Base ecosystem. All of his characters seem to adopt a chain. And there's a meme coin created, it goes up. And Hood Rat's actually one of his characters. So I kind of told it to our community. I was like, hey, we need Robin Hood memes to kind of catch fire. But if there's a Matt Fury coin or character that could go off, this is the one that's floating around there. Is at 2 million. Sure enough, Vlad tweets some stuff out yesterday saying Robin Hood summer, and it goes all the way to 14 million. So that's a clear winner. So really happy for anybody in our community that got into it. There was another one, and our boy, I don't want to out him on the podcast, but you know, we all like it. Rohit, me and him have been talking a little bit in Slack, and Rohit is, you know, can be conservative with his funds and where he's doing, but he likes to go with some attention as well. And he's like, hey, what do you think about a coin named Dog and Hood, D-I-H? And I was like, I actually kind of like it. You know, it's a dog and hood. A lot of this stuff, again, we're throwing darts, but that felt like one that was a recent cusp call that's up for people. And then there was also one called Tendies with a T that I called, because I don't know if you remember the Wall Street Bet account.
Yeah.
They like started talking about like Tendies, and they started using the term Tendies, like you're making a lot of money. And then they started making a mockery of it, saying like, oh, Tendies, like we have enough money to buy chicken tenders and Tendies. And it just became this meme. And if you don't remember, back in the GameStop days, like Robinhood was like public enemy number one, dude. We hated Robinhood. Yeah. They took away the buy and sell button. We were like, freedom, you can't do this. Like, they were publicly enemy number one, and that was all behind Wall Street's bets. So there's a little bit of a correlation there with Tendies. So those were the four that I told everybody in our community. I was like, Cash Cat's the lead dog, like Hood Rat, Dog and Hood, Tendies. Those are four, but there's obviously some other ones. You can see number Juggernaut, I think it's five on the list there, is rumored to be, like Vlad mentioned, that it was his favorite meme. I never saw that personally. I've just heard a lot of people say that Juggernaut, and that's like a $13 million market cap. And all of these, we all had ample opportunity to get in them a lot cheaper. And then there's another world here where you could argue that there's still room to grow, but there's also still room for them to go to zero as well. But if Vlad keeps tweeting out, you never know. What are you seeing?
Just like, yeah, these are funny. Gently used infinity. That's making me laugh. Your Hood is funny. Tendies obviously sticks out. I don't see anything else down here.
Yeah.
Chill Hood.
So if you're into meme coins, if you're into just like having a little bit of fun on chain, this feels like less like you're just going to absolutely be rugged, like where some coins were going on Solana. Not to say that doesn't happen or there's some bad contracts out here, but it does feel a little bit less likely. It feels like people are embracing these communities a little more, but we're only in like day three of this really popping off. And some of those this could only last a week. This could last 2 weeks. It could go longer. It could go shorter. We're really not sure yet. So I always give everyone the advice. Like if you got into Hood Rat when we called it at what, $2 million or so, and it went up to $14, $10 million, you should probably take your initial investment out and a little bit of profit and then just free roll the rest. Have some fun. Check out the tweets if you want to stay in it. So you want to protect your bag. No one ever went broke taking profit. But who knows? Vlad is kind of a fluid, frisky guy on the timeline. All these like CEOs are now. No longer do we have a CEO that's all buckled up with a tie that's scared to say something. We got Vlad calling Robin Hood Summer and knows exactly what he's doing. So who knows what's going to happen this weekend. But it's brought a lot of excitement into the space that needed some excitement, man. We needed this. I needed this.
Yeah, everybody needed it. The community needed it. And obviously, you know, nothing we said here is a personal financial advice, just friends talking crypto, friends talking memes. That's what it's all about. But yeah, cool. You and Joe gave out some great calls. So if anybody that's interested in kind of getting those first alerts, as always, check the description below. We have the $1 trial for Momentum Moneymakers. You can join Brian and Joe and you'll get those emails that Brian was kind of breaking down on how he gave out the calls, and you know, a lot of them worked out, especially on the Robinhood chain this week, as it's been the absolute bell of the ball. Got a little lively chat here on a Friday. We got Holy Whale here. The Bandit just popped in. Trinity's here. We got Kevin from Lakeland, Florida. Habish is here. Good to see Habish back. And let us know. Let us know if anybody else is watching. Let us know where you're from. And give the video a thumbs up if you can. Helps us grow the channel. As we continue on, some Hyperliquid news. Like we said, Hyperliquid got passed by Robinhood chain this week with volume in use. But we got some, what is this? Policy Center and Phantom file for a joint comment urging the CFTC to exempt on-chain developers from registration and let exchanges and clearinghouses run regulated functions for on-chain infrastructure. Basically, Hyperliquid wanting the green light to continue to build. What are you making of this?
Yeah, instead of just fighting rules, they're asking regulators to update the rulebook of how decentralized tech actually works. And if the CFTC takes this seriously, it could reduce a lot of legal risk for all the builders and make it easier for, I guess, proper on-chain perps and DeFi to scale in the United States without forcing everything out to like outdated centralized structures. So it's a piece of bullish news here. We'll see how it continues to develop. But they're still building. They're still pushing for regulation and something that we really need. I have, the perps platforms are really interesting. I'm pretty bullish on Hyperliquid, as we all know, and I have a fair share of the token. And then they are overseas, you know. And I always think about that. I think they're based in Singapore. If I need to fact check that, but they are overseas. But another purse platform that's absolutely been popping off has been Lighter or Lit. And it was like, I think as of like Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, I was talking about with our community. I was like, man, this is only a $600 million market cap. It's been doing really well, but it's an actual purpose platform. And they integrated with Robinhood and Lighter. And I was like, man, maybe that's an interesting play as well eventually, because they're based in the United States. So we're just kind of like verbally vomiting on everyone with these perps platforms, but we need clear regulation for a lot of things within crypto, especially perps and decentralized platforms like this. So it's good to see, but kind of the Hyperliquid, the Lighters are still really interesting to me.
Great point. I didn't have this on the sheet, but I wanted to pull it up. Circle, the stablecoin company and publicly traded stock, up 15% after the comptroller of the currency grants the company approval to operate as a bank. So really interesting news. Obviously, super bullish news for Circle. I know Coinbase has a lot invested in Circle as well for stablecoin use and all that. But I find this interesting. It's kind of building off the Hyperliquid news too, of these crypto companies are asking for grants, they're getting grants, and it's like all this is going on where like it feels like it would just be great to get the Clarity Act passed, because you know it's kind of the rules of the road that everybody's looking for, and these individual companies are, some are getting them, some are not, and there's just no blanket rules for the road. But it's, I guess, I don't know if you call it special treatment or they're doing the right paperwork, but I don't know, there's just something feels off when there's, you know, some grants going on the side and we can't figure out this Clarity Act thing. Is the odds just kind of continue to, I don't know if the word's tank, but it's certainly down, especially over the last, you know, week, 3% down over the last month. You know, at one point it was 54 and down there. So it was up 5%, now down 10. That's a 15% swing over the last, you know, 2 weeks. So getting, you know, I think the next date was like middle August or early August. And then if it doesn't get done there, then there's the recess. And then you're heading into just the midterm cycle. And it's going to be hard to get down. I guess the sticking point is, you know, the rules of, you know, what the Trump family being able to do all their crypto businesses. Like, so the Democrats don't want to vote for that right now, especially going into election season. But any thoughts on the Clarity Act, Brian?
Yeah, I got a lot of thoughts on this damn Clarity Act, man. It should have been passed like 3 months ago. That's what should have happened. August 7th's the date. If it doesn't happen by August 7th, senators go on recess, and we're in a lot of trouble for the Clarity Act happening in 2026. So I think a draft comes out next week, if I remember correctly. So that'll be interesting to see. The ethics side of it, with like the Trump family making like billions of dollars in crypto, obviously the Dems don't like that. You know, I get that. Absolutely. I'm sympathetic to, like, you know, everyone's thoughts there. But the Clarity Act, just from an overall market, I really want to see done in 2026, 38%. And then we had the chief legal officer of Coinbase. He stepped down, and he was a big part of like just pushing a lot of regulation for Coinbase, and we had a pretty strong hand with the Clarity Act. And I think that's, whenever that announcement happened, I checked the odds. They went from like 45 to 40. So not a huge movement down. I don't think it really matters all that much. But man, time's tight, dude. I mean, like we were hearing people talk about they wanted to have this pretty much in place by July 4th. It's July 10th right now, and the odds just keep falling. August 7th is a huge date. Man, you put gun to my head. Probably not feeling great about the Clarity Act in 2026. But I can't say, I mean, I'm at a coin flip here, but I felt this is coming from a permable who was really bullish about this months ago. I was like, we're going to get this done. Now I feel like it's truly a coin flip. I just need these senators to get off their butt. Just start inking some stuff. You know, use that electronic pen that Biden uses. Nobody will know.
Yeah, what a ride. What a ride. I remember this little downslope here. We were live on air. It went down to 39%. You were watching, and I was like, oh, I'm nibbling this.
I did.
I loved it at 39 back in January, and it went all the way up a couple weeks later, all the way to 79%. We were at 80%, man. See, I loved it. January 29th, I loved it at 39%. I'll say this. Yeah, at July 10th at 38%. I don't necessarily love it. I'm with you. It feels like a coin flip, and I don't know, dude. It feels like that might even be like a little crypto bias, you know, because he's even saying it's a flip.
That's the perma bull saying. That's one of the perma bulls saying it's a coin flip. So that might be a fixed coin where it lands on one side a little bit more than the other.
The ethics holdup is a serious thing. That you need some people to come across the aisle and Democrats to join, and that's going to be a holdup there. So we'll keep tracking it as we get closer to that August date. Like Brian said, looks like we're looking for August and see what happens from there. But yeah, it's not looking too good. But I've also seen some takes of like, hey, we don't need it. Maybe, you know, it's like there was all this pent up need for it, and it would be nice to have. But you know, it's one of those things where if everybody knows it's going to happen or not going to happen, it's just an event that needs to clear. We need the clearing of the event, and then you know we can digest it and move on from there. But Bitcoin, as in value territory, seems to be a lot of discussion going on. Are we showing signs of a bottom? So what did you bring for us here, Brian?
Yeah, I just put that on the sheet because I agree. It does. I've been saying it for months now. I've said the word chop and choppy for so long. And we've talked about when we're all together, all the analysts were together at this one of our events a month ago. Just it did feel like we were just chopping in this range here. And it feels really like where we should be. You know, we're in the depths of a bear market right now. We're following a four-year cycle that I thought wasn't going to happen this turnaround is going just to plan. And now I'm starting to just embrace it. And if I'm embracing the four-year cycle, if I'm embracing that thesis, and I'm expecting a chop like this is happening, then I'm expecting that this is probably a hell of a good time, not financial advice, to get in on Bitcoin. It just feels that way to me because we've had a lot. We've had tariffs. We've had wars. We've had just oil trading more volatile than dog in hood right now. I mean, there's just been so much going on. And Bitcoin is kind of steady in this range. We've had that healthy pullback that we have in every bear market. I wouldn't be surprised if we have one more flush out. I wouldn't be shocked by it, but I'm okay with that. I would be okay. So my own personal investing, we talk about it every time on this rundown. Hey, I'm nibbling a little bit more. I've been nibbling more and more and more because I think it's time to nibble during the summer. Nobody's on their screens. All the bankers are in the Hamptons right now. They're not doing Friday rundown shows. Their lights off. They're not to lose their lights off. We're here, yeah. And it feels like that. So it feels like I want to kind of get ahead of the movement. And I think the movement to the upswing is going to probably, if the four-year cycle is correct, which I'm starting to be a big believer of again, it's going to probably be like September, October. And I want to be positioned for it. And then whenever I see an article come out like this, kind of endorsing exactly what I'm thinking, I have to share it because it feels like it's in the value zone. I think even in this article, they said there's no bottom signal yet. So they're kind of even indicating like, hey, we could have one more flush out, but I'm okay with that because, you know, it's going to go back, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's, you know, the trade amount, get the volatility, trade amount, and then there's wear you out just with, you know, a long, boring range, which, you know, we've seen before. So, yeah, we talked about this with Brendan, just like, you know, long-term holders in the realized loss is, you know, when this starts spiking up, traditionally, all the way back to, you know, 18 here, you've seen some bottoms here. With some decent statistics there. Let's see. What else do we got? Anything else? Any one of these charts that you liked?
I'm looking at them maybe for one of the first times in depth, to be completely honest with you. They all look good.
The one that I always like. When the long-term holder realized loss, it's a flush out. It's like you see these spikes. Everybody gets flushed out. It's like, all right, I'm done. I'm out here. This is too volatile, too much for me. And so we definitely hit the first spike here. Get your second spike here again. This obviously isn't a guarantee, but it's the market's making, you know, weak hands. It's making the change of hands of people exchanging here for different reasons of I'm done or, oh, I like this price. I would like to buy here is a lot of rotation there. So that's good. It's good to see stats like that, again, to help build your thesis long term, if you will. We got some bullish calls from Van Eck. Van Eck saying Bitcoin will beat its all-time high by 2028. So that's pretty it's a pretty long timeline. That's a nice little safer bet for Van Eck, which I don't hate. But saying the 22 countries now are mining or holding Bitcoin. We had Coinbase's John D'Agostino on. That episode's coming out Tuesday, talking about how, you know, behind the scenes in Coinbase, there's a lot of nation states that isn't getting a ton of news are talking about holding Bitcoin or buying Bitcoin if they haven't yet. And then the White House continues to tease. We've beaten that horse so many times. Like that's a show me story now. And kind of like we just showed on that last chart, seller exhaustion is building.
So yeah, again, I mean,
go ahead.
Dude. Oh, I get
all those stats. All those stats just build towards, you got to make your own story. You know, you got to be on one side of the boat or the other. But you know, when price is high, it's easier to go on either side. And it just feels like right now, it's just been beaten down, and it's the trade you out has kind of happened to a point. And it's definitely the wear you out stage.
I mean, do you remember like the 10-10 liquidation, the 10-10 liquidation? Remember we're talking about 10-10? We're coming up on almost a year of that. You know, we're in July right now. We're 3 months away. I mean, that feels like forever ago, but it also doesn't. So whenever I saw like the Van Eck, which is a very conservative firm, saying that we'll probably get to an all-time high by 2028, I think we get there sooner. I think it's a pretty bullish take, and they make some good points there. And seller exhaustion is the biggest one. You know, just like we're going to rinse all the people out. And the people, if you're still here, if you're still tuning in, freaking hats off to you, man. I need to buy everybody in our chat a freaking edible arrangement or something when we go to the all-time high. Because we're making it happen together. And it's going to happen. It's just when it happens. And I'm starting to just kind of drink the Kool-Aid of the four-year cycle. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid that this October, a year from the 10-10 liquidations, we're going to start picking up steam. The buys that I made today, the buys I make tomorrow are going to start looking really good in 2027. And I'm okay with an all-time high in 2028 because that means we are just absolutely face melting. And we might all be on the wrong side of the boat then too. You know, we might be having rundown shows with all of us with party hats on saying like, wow, Bitcoin to 200, 250, 300, who knows? So it's exciting. And I just feel like the seller exhaustion feels real. I mean, the liquidity is low on chain right now. We're all kind of just like looking at each other, but there's still a lot of news out there, a lot of movement happening. So when they flip the on switch on, it's going to come on pretty hard. That faucet's going to run. And I'm just kind of believing 2027 now, like October, I'm calling it. I think October is like when the excitement really starts pumping our bags. But who knows? Maybe Vlad tweets out something sweet. And we get a little Robin Hood summer to hold us over.
That would be great. You know, it would also be great. Shout out in the chat. I saw Grant, Big Grant's in the chat saying TiVo. We saw one of our tools that our team uses. I'm sure you've heard Bryce talk about it. If you're inside the community, is our altcoin alert tool. And I saw something that the altcoin alert gave a bullish signal for nobody sausage. Grant, I know Grant, friend of the show, of course, rode nobody sausage with us, Brian, and not, you know, obviously that didn't quite pan out price wise, even though the meme was quite hilarious, but bullish signals for nobody sausage from one of our tools. But you gotta take that, you know, it's one part of your research. So we might have to go dive in to the nobody sausage Twitter, see if there's any bullish signs there.
I mean, this guy was, they were promoting it on Crawford during the Crawford Canelo. I mean, it was just such a euphoric, epic time. As you can see how things could run dry pretty quickly, but they can come back just as quick. So I don't have any nobody sausage, but I was on the same tweet or text message when we got that alert today. Not going to lie. Kind of thought a little bit about picking up a little nobody sausage bag just because it kind of brings nostalgic vibes to me. It's like when I smell a McDonald's Happy Meal, you know? It tastes delicious, but it's just because, like, you grew up on it, you know? There's something I need. Shout out to Nobody Sausage, man. It wasn't his fault. He did everything he could. He was just an epic character on TikTok, just running the show.
Facts. I got one more. We'll do, we're talking kind of how we're building our thesis. And again, you got to do your own research, make your own thesis. But, you know, this fear greed index, we've been in fear for a month, even kissing extreme fear last month and just trading in this grinding. We call that grinding in these fear levels. We did have that pump here back in, April, mid-April, which got us out of fear. And then we went right back down to extreme fear. So it is that trade. We said, trade you out, wear you out. It just feels like we're in that zone, which, again, like we both said, the summary is like, this is where we're nibbling. Like, there's no full port all in. You got to keep getting the information. And there's obviously many macro factors that can swing things either way, besides just crypto specific. But it feels... Yeah, I still have my automatic buys on each week, and it feels fine for me just not thinking about it, getting some stuff done. But let's wrap up our Friday on a fun note. I wanted to get your take on this because I basically, you know, the World Cup, these games have been so great, right? These games have been unbelievable. And the tournament itself has been unbelievable with just some, you know, awesome moments. Like, as a sports fan, I kind of said this, I was like, hand up, like, not a huge full-time soccer or football guy, if you will, but the tournament itself took me in, and then, you know, the USA, Team USA is winning, we're going to the knockout stage, we're winning, it felt like the whole country was getting on board, and everybody made that last USA game appointment television. It felt like appointment television for even the casual sports fan, for even maybe the people that aren't big sports fans. And so we all make our appointment television. We head out. We go get, you know, the best table at the best sports bar on the dock, lower deck down in Tampa. We get the boys ready. We're rowdy. We're getting ready. And the USA soccer team goes out and lays an absolute egg, Brian. Lays an absolute egg, and I know you tuned in. So I had to pose the question, and we have the results, so we wanted to give the results, final results, but we need your opinion as well. If the U.S. soccer team was a crypto, would they be Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, or the FTX token?
Oh, this is what you were talking about before. No, I didn't see this tweet, and I hate myself for not seeing it, but... Oh man, FTX tokens taking a. I mean, they look like crap in that Belgium game. I was drinking the Kool-Aid, man. I was the Perma Bowl for the U.S. soccer team. The prediction markets stole my money from that bet. What'd they lose? 4-1 or something. So FTX token is what people are calling the U.S. soccer, huh? Did you vote?
Yeah, let us know in the chat. If you're still here in the chat, let us know in the chat what your vote is. The Crypto 101 Faithful on X voted for FTX token, dubbing them a fraud at 47.8%. That's the translation. FTX token is fraud. Fraudulent. I personally, I don't know who voted for Bitcoin. We got to talk to them or Ethereum. Maybe you could make a case for Ethereum saying that, like, hey, there was a little utility there. Like, they won a couple games, but I don't know, man. It's a hard, hard case for me on that. I went with Litecoin. I thought I personally voted Litecoin. And before you tell us your vote and why, I put Litecoin because at one point it did a lot and it made me feel something. And then since then it hasn't, and it never probably will again. So that's why I voted for Litecoin. What's your final take?
Just hearing your thesis behind Litecoin, that's exactly how I felt. I wanted to vote FTX, but no, you're right. They made me feel something. They made me feel like Litecoin was the little brother Bitcoin. Faster, quicker, lightning speed. Charlie Lee loves it, blah, blah, blah. Like, this would go somewhere, and then they totally rug you, and now, you know, it's like, you know, you left feeling very empty-handed. I would vote Litecoin now, thinking through. Man, what a bummer the U.S. Have you been? I'm not a soccer pro, but I'll tell you what. the prediction markets and DraftKings have stopped sending me the emails. Hey, we miss you. You got to come on back, because I'm back in full force. I mean, I'm as heavy as ever right now. It might not just be the dog days in certain cryptos. It's kind of the dog days in sports betting. But they blessed us with the World Cup right now. And I'm betting stuff like yesterday. I'm singing in my room, ole, 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 because Mbappe scored the first goal yesterday. My son's like, what's happening? Did the USA win? I was like, no, Team France is winning, and Mbappe scored, you know? And he's like, why do you care? And I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. But it's been fun. Have you been tuning in a lot?
Yeah, it's been great background stuff during the afternoon while I'm working. I just have it in my office TV and just have it on the background. And then you kind of can feel like I'm a big, for sports that I don't love, like I'm not a huge NBA guy, but like if it's the NBA finals, like I'm going to have it on. And just eventually once it hits the fourth quarter, you know, if it's a close game, you kind of tune in. And that's kind of what I've been doing with the soccer games. You just have them on and you can kind of feel it out, and like the end of the first half, second half, it's like, hey, is this a moment, as they say, and they like to say in soccer, what a moment, well, you know, rising to the moment. And I've been picking up on the lingo, a game is a cap. It's like a good cap for him. It's an international if you play a game, they call it, oh, he had a good cap. So picking up on the lingo, I'm enjoying it. That Argentina game the other day was unbelievable. I kind of caught that whole thing. I had it on and I was watching and it kept building and building. And then I was locked in. I was like, dude, I can't believe the best player in the world is about to lose to Egypt. That's crazy. And then to watch that comeback, you could have bought, like, they were down 3-1. I saw on Kalshi, you could have bought like Will Messi cry or something. It was like Will Messi win and cry. And it was like 2% with 3 minutes to go. Or three to one, the score, yeah. And like somebody bought it at 2%, and then they came back one, and he cried, and they made a bag.
I mean, that was a crazy, crazy game, dude. That's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun seeing these stars kind of respond in the biggest moments here, and like that Haaland guy from Norway, and you know, there's a lot of good themes out there, and I've rather enjoyed it. I think it was your Instagram, or was it our Crypto 101 Twitter with the offsides?
That was my personal one. Yeah,
that I don't know if I responded back, but gave me a legit like laugh out loud. And I never even really understood, and this is where how ignorant I am with soccer. Never really understood offsides in soccer in the first few games. I was just like, why is this offsides? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But now I get it. And
they're late. And dude, I feel like there's like a pageantry of soccer where the refs are part of like egging the players on sometimes. Like there's some times where they make the offsides call and it's like so delayed. Like they let the play go on and finish. And it's not even like the review. They call it the review, like VAR. It's like the ref will make a call. He'll like think about it for 45 seconds. The play continues and they score. And then he's like, actually offsides. And they raise their hand and start waving the flag. The refs are funny, man.
They're like characters in the entire game. And then we could do a whole show on like the extra time and like how that just pops up and like the confusion of it and why do they keep giving us extra time? How'd they get to that extra time? And I think it was a Barstool, maybe like Jeff Mack or somebody was like talking about how it doesn't even, or KFC, one of those guys was talking about how they actually like audited it once and how off the extra time was by the referees, but they were like, hey, don't even worry about it. We just like the way it is. It's been fabulous to follow. And we got a pretty big game today. We got Spain. I'm not going to lie. I got a couple prediction market bets on Spain too. And a couple underplays there. They haven't given up a goal in the right. World Cup yet. So you really have to think they might keep that going.
Fair enough. I do one final prediction market thing. We didn't get to cover the first Fed meeting. Me and you didn't get to do one of those lives because there was just stuff going on that week. I couldn't do it. There was a mispricing that I texted you last minute, but it was a mention market. It was what will Kevin Warsh say during the June press conference? And remember how Powell always said good afternoon? That was like his thing. Yeah.
It was 99%. And so they had good afternoon and it was like 70-30. And he doesn't like, I don't know personally, but like he doesn't agree with Powell. So he's not going to go say, like, I thought that was such a lock. And it was last minute. I didn't even think about it because I was so busy. And I was like, oh, wait, I got to see what I can get some action on. And I just thought the mispricing of like 30, you could have gotten no for like 30%, which is, you know, almost three extra money. Like that's awesome. And so I laid a little hammer on that and got the W. So we kind of said that. It's a shame we didn't get to do a show. We got to say how, like, you know, hey, the prediction markets, the mention markets specifically, might be a little lopsided because they're kind of going to relate everything to the old speaker. So I thought that was a fun one. And I texted you, but it was too late. But I really thought that was a winner.
Well, I watched it and I got the text. I remember that. I remember he fired off a little good day at us. You know, it wasn't a good afternoon. He just gave us a good day. And I'm like, Kevin's so leaning now, mean,
so
dude.
Next time good day is going to be like, what, 90%, 80%?
It has to be. It's going to be high. And then do we double
do
down?
That?
Is that
just
his
to see if he switches it up? Is that another one where you just kind of fade? You just, maybe you don't hammer. Like, I kind of put a little hammer down on the last one, but maybe you fade it. And then just to see.
The contrarian in me says we have to fade it if the odds are right. That, you know, he's nimble. He's not stuck in his ways. You know, he's willing to say hi.
Yeah, so, like, hey everybody. That's what I thought. Like, hey everybody, how's everybody doing? Or how's everybody doing today? It's like a good, like, switch it up. I kind of like, I think that's how the play. It's like whatever he said last time probably will be like 80-90%, and then you just fade that.
I'm definitely not going purple tie, I'll tell you that much. That was definitely Powell's thing. And what color was Warsh's tie? I think it was like, I asked you. I was like, what color is this tie?
Maybe blue?
Like a shade of blue, yeah. So
yeah, it was like opposite. I mean, like a Republican red, you'd go the opposite. It's like, oh, I'm a you know, cross-aisle thinker. I'm wearing blue today.
Yeah. So there's definitely going to be some live mention markets. We should definitely do another Fed show. But I love the way you're thinking. I think we have to fade the good day, unless it's just obvious that we just have to slam it. But you know, I think that was a very sharp call from you, and I wouldn't expect anything less, man. I mean, it's July, and we're talking about Robinhood, just right up your wheelhouse. I mean, Robinhood should be giving you an endorsement. That's what I need to know. You're having all these meetings with them. You need to really be like, I've been calling and touting you guys for years now. I've been telling everybody about you. You've been seeing the future, my guy. Predicting the future, some may say.
Trying my best. And we'll continue to try our best to bring the best crypto content, the best prediction markets, and just a lot of fun along the way. Thanks, everybody, for joining on a Friday. One last call. Give it a thumbs up. Subscribe if you hadn't on the bottom right, and check out the links below so you can get more involved with us inside the community. I hope everybody has a great rest of their weekend. We'll be back next week with some awesome interviews and some more great rundowns. We'll see you then. But that's all for now. Bye-bye, everybody.